This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. There is much to be grateful for this morning, and I am deeply grateful to be worshiping with you, whether you're joining us in person or online. I invite you to take a moment and register your attendance and let us know that you're with us. If you're here in the sanctuary, there are registration pads in the middle of the aisle. If you'll pass those down and back again. And if you're worshiping online, there's a link that you can put in your browser to sign in and let us know that you're alongside of us this morning. We're also grateful this morning, or I'm feeling very grateful for Jim Raver and Bob Hilton, who were here last night with NES. We had a squirrel that gnawed through a wire, and we had no power. I don't know why they choose to do that on Saturday. But we came this close to worshiping with fans and no lights this morning. So we thank God for Jim Raver and Bob Hilton, who got us up and running this morning. We're also grateful to celebrate the ministry of our Sunday Day Club this morning. Our Sunday Day Club donated the flowers for worship. Some of them are here wearing their Sunday Day t-shirts, and they are celebrating their 9th year of ministry among us. The Sunday Day Club works with folks who are in the early mid stages of memory loss, providing fun and interactive programming on Mondays for them, and also giving their caregivers a little bit of a break to go and do the things that they need to do during that time. And they're looking for new members. If you know anyone or a family that has a loved one in the early stages of memory loss, please let Pastor Stacy or myself know. And we also are always looking for volunteers to help with that ministry. So thank you for those of you in Sunny Day for all that you do to share God's love with the folks in our community. We want to invite you during the Sunday school hour to join us downstairs in McWhorter Hall, the fellowship hall, where we will have table talk. We're going to gather around tables and spend some time with some guided conversation, just getting to know one another across generations, across experiences. We'll be doing this for the next 3 weeks during the Sunday school hour, and it'll be a wonderful way to connect and reconnect with one another. Another prayer of gratitude and celebration. We have our group of youth who are on their way home from a week of hiking in the Appalachian Mountains. It's a ministry that helps them think about following Jesus as they hike these mountains. And we're glad that everybody's safe and returning home today. And finally, just a reminder, the church-wide invitation to the Sounds baseball game on July 26th. There's information in your bulletin about how to get tickets, and we'd love to have folks of all generations come and join in that fun time together. This morning, as we worship, we'll be gathering around a much-beloved parable, the parable of the Good Samaritan. But as with all of Jesus' parables, they continue to teach us and continue to open new things for us to learn. So let us open ourselves to this beautiful story, to this time of worship together. It's good to be with you.
world cries to us in distress. How shall we answer?
We cannot.
How shall we answer?
We cannot.
How shall we answer? Let us come now before God with our confessions, with the assurance that who we are, that what we carry, are held within the God of perfect love, who knows us intimately, who cares for us deeply, and whose compassion and mercy have no end. Lord of loving kindness, we confess that we feel overwhelmed. We hear bad news continually shouted on every platform. The whole world seems to be crying out in pain. Disease and violence reign supreme in too many parts of the world. The innocent suffer. The oppressed are silenced. The hurting are ignored. Sometimes we turn an indifferent ear to the cries of others because we are so overwhelmed by the needs. We close our eyes. We walk away. We are afraid to become involved. Forgive us, Lord, forgive us. Help us, O Lord. Heal our spirits and our wills. Open our hearts and our hands to serve. Make us ready to share your compassionate love with our neighbors, wherever we encounter them. And now, O God, we offer you our individual confessions in silence. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the
name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Glory to God. Amen. And now, as a forgiven and reconciled people, I invite you to exchange signs of reconciliation and love, however you feel most comfortable at this time. The peace of Christ be with you. Peace of Christ.
Be with you.
One of the great joys of the church is the baptism of children. This morning, Jeff and Ann Clark Snyder bring their son to God before the community of faith for baptism.
There are many ways that every baptism is special, but this one is special in a unique way, in that little Mac is a fourth generation West Ender. And a friend has brought some water from the Jordan River. And probably most special of all, it's brought his grandfather out from behind the camera on Sunday mornings into the pews. We're so grateful for Mac Perkle's ministry in our live stream, but we're glad to see you face to face for this very special celebration of baptism. Because through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We're incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth through water and the Spirit. And all of this is God's gift, offered to us without price. Jeff and Ann Clark, I ask you now on behalf of the whole church these ancient questions of the faith. Do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? If so, say, I do. Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? If so, say, I do. Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in His grace, and promise to serve Him as your Lord in union with the church which Christ has opened to all people? If so, say, I do. And will you nurture this child in Christ's holy church, that by your teaching and example, he may be guided to accept God's grace for himself, to profess his faith openly, and to lead a Christian life? If so, say, I will.
I will.
My friends in the congregation, do you, as Christ's body, the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ? If so, say, we do.
We do.
And will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and life, and include this child now before you in your care? With God's help, we will proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ. We will surround this child with a community of love and forgiveness that he may grow in service with others. We will pray for him to be a true disciple who walks in the way that leads to life.
Let us pray. Eternal God, when nothing existed but chaos, you swept across the dark waters and brought forth light. In the days of Noah, you saved those on the ark through water. And after the flood, you set in the clouds a rainbow. And when you saw your people as slaves in Egypt, you led them to freedom through the sea. And their children you brought through the Jordan to the land which you promised. In the fullness of time, you sent Jesus, nurtured in the water of a womb. He was baptized by John and anointed by your Spirit. He called his disciples to share in his baptism, in the baptism of his death and resurrection, and to make disciples of all nations. Pour out your Holy Spirit to bless this gift of water and this child who receives it, to wash away sin and clothe him in righteousness throughout his life, that dying and being raised with Christ, he may share in Christ's final victory. All praise to you, eternal God, through your Son, Jesus Christ, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns forever. Amen.
And what name have you given your son?
Jeffrey McClellan Snyder, Jr.
Jeffrey McClellan Snyder, Jr. I baptize you in the name of God the Father, your Creator, Christ the Son, your Redeemer, and the Holy Spirit, your advocate and comforter all the days of your life. Amen. And now, little Mac, we're going to pray for the gift of the Holy Spirit in your life. And we want your mom and dad and big sister and Pastor Brandon all to place a hand on him if you'd like to. And we're all going to pray for you. Let us pray. Jeffrey McClellan, may the Holy Spirit work within you, that being born through water and the Spirit, you may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ all the days of your beautiful life. Amen. And baby Mac is wearing a beautiful gown that your grandmother wore. Is that right? Even more special. Well, little Mac, let's go stand over here and let the whole congregation worshiping online and in person get a closer look at you, as we make our promises as a community of faith to support and love and care for all of you as a family.
Will the congregation please rise in body or spirit and face Jeffrey McClellan? Now it is our joy to welcome our new brother in Christ. Members of the household of God, I commend Jeffrey McClellan to your love and care. Do all in your power to increase his faith, confirm his hope, and perfect him in love.
We give thanks for all that God has already given you, Jeffrey McClellan, and we welcome you in Christian love, as members together with you in the body of Christ and in this congregation of the United Methodist Church. We renew our covenant to participate faithfully in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ.
Amen. We're going to give you a book.
may be seated. I've already had a couple of you say, why are the recycling bins in the sanctuary? Don't worry, this is not their permanent placement, although it would not be a bad thing. Taking care of the earth is a sacred act. This is a form of worshiping God. And this morning we are inviting those from the Creation Care team to come on up. And we are going to bless these recycle bins that will go throughout this building. And so I'm going to invite Brandon to come up if he'd like to, and any members of the team. And we're going to lay a hand on these bins. Later, you're going to get an email with more details about where these bins are going to be throughout the building. We have always been able to recycle paper and cardboard, but through a lot of the volunteers that are here now and the work of this team, come on up, guys. I want you to lay a hand on the bins. They're clean. They haven't been used yet. Yeah. Which reminds me, if you use these, please clean your recycling before sticking them in the bins. Thank you. So let us pray. God, we pray for these bins. May they be a tangible way that we show love to you and to our neighbor by loving the earth. Bless these bins for their purpose. When we recycle, may we be reminded to take larger actions to shape the systems that we need to sustain and care for your creation. Amen. Thank you. So like I said, you'll be getting an email this week with more information. Y'all can go ahead and have a seat. With more information on where these are going to be, thank you so much to the team of volunteers who have volunteered to get the bottles and cans that will be in here and take them to their own home recycling.
Let us pray together the prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds in the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. Lesson from the Gospel, Luke chapter 10, verses 25 through 37. Just then, a lawyer stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, he said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? He said to him, what is written in the law? What do you read there? He answered, You shall love the Lord, your God, with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And he said to him, you have given the right answer. Do this, and you will live. But wanting to justify himself, he asked, Jesus, and who is my neighbor? Jesus replied, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell into the hands of robbers, who stripped him, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, while traveling, came near him, and when he saw him, he was moved with pity. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, having poured oil and wine on them. Then he put him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said, take care of him, and when I come back, I will repay you whatever more you spend. Which of these 3 do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell in the hands of the robber? He said, the one who showed mercy. Jesus said to him, go and do likewise. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
I'd like to have a moment with the children who are worshiping with us. If you are in the pews and want to come forward and join me up here, I'd love to see you. And if you're worshiping online, just move a little closer to your screen. Come on up. Wow, look at all these wonderful, beautiful faces. Happy to see you. Come on and have a seat. Welcome, welcome. All right. Hi there. One of the places I love to go is the library. And I love to go and check out a book or two books or three books and take them home. Good. I'm so glad. The library is a great place to go. Reading is a wonderful thing. And so I check out a book from the library, I read the story, I close the book, and I take it back to the library. And I'm done. I've read that book. But you know, there are some stories that I love to read over and over and over again. You know, Jesus told a lot of stories. We call them parables sometimes. And what Henry just read was one of Jesus' most famous parables, the parable of the Good Samaritan. It's a wonderful story, and I read it, and I think about what it means, and, ooh, I need to be a kind person and help people who need it. But the amazing thing is I can read it again and learn something different, and then I can pick it up and read it again, and I understand something totally new and different. The stories of Jesus are things that we get to read over and over and over again, and we never stop learning from them. So I hope as you grow up in the church, if you continue to come to church and go to Sunday school and Vacation Bible School, you'll get to know these wonderful parables of Jesus, and you'll be able to learn from them your whole life long. Let's pray together. God, we thank you that Jesus was such a wonderful storyteller. He told stories that we can all understand, but that we never, ever stop learning from. Help us to read them, to listen, to hear them, and to allow them to teach us. This parable is a good reminder that you want us to be kind and to help others. Thank you so much. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you all so much. All right, if you're 3, 4, or 5, you can go with Pastor Stacy to Children's Church. And if you're older than that, you can go back to sit with parents or friends.
Excuse me, my mom said that I could go and help.
There is something so wonderfully comforting about a parable like this one. The parable of the Good Samaritan, the parable of the prodigal son are probably two of Jesus' most famous and beloved stories. And they're parables that I feel like I can just sink into like a comfortable mattress. I've heard them so many times, and I can just curl up on the mattress and think, oh, I want to be good, like that Good Samaritan. Most of the time I am. But then I realize that this mattress I'm lying on is not so much a purple mattress or a thermo, whatever it's called, mattress. It's more like a sofa bed that you pull out, one of those 1970s sofa beds, and the bar starts to jab you in the back, and you roll around, and you can't quite get comfortable because there's always something poking at you. That's what Jesus' parables really are like. As we scratch the surface, as we dig more deeply into them, they don't go in the directions we think they're going to go. They convict us. They make us look at ourselves in different ways and to look at others in different ways. And this parable of the Good Samaritan, as comfortable and wonderful as it is no exception. We even know from the context of when Jesus told it that he intentionally turned the tables on his audience. He was talking primarily to a Jewish audience, and he makes the hero of the story a Samaritan. He twists it right at the end, shocking them and making them rethink how they understand Samaritans and how they understand themselves and the relationship between them. And so as I settled in this week with this parable, I was very aware of the ways that it was poking me in the back and making me uncomfortable. Because I realized all along the way, as I read all of the verses that Henry just read for us, where I see myself. And maybe you can see yourself in this parable as well. I see myself really clearly in the lawyer who first asks the question, before even Jesus tells the story. A lawyer steps up. "Teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" I understand that question. What do I need to do to be a good person? To be right with God? Just give me a list. I'll go to church on Sundays, tithe, do something to help out in the community, read my Bible every day. Okay, I got those. I can do that. Is that what I need to do? I understand that impulse coming from the lawyer. And of course, Jesus turns the question back on him. You know the law. You've studied the law. What does the law tell you? And he answers beautifully, the same way Jesus himself interpreted this question in another gospel. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus says, do that, and you will live. But the lawyer's not done yet. But Jesus, who is my neighbor? He's asking, really, but who is not my neighbor? Who do I really not have to worry about? Who do I not have to include in my circle of care and love? Surely I can draw the line somewhere. Is it among the Jews? Is it among my neighborhood? Is it my, where can I draw the line? Who do I include and not include? And I understand the lawyer's question in that moment for lots of reasons. For compassion fatigue, or my lack of ability to appreciate people who drive me crazy. Do I really have to love them, or the people who disagree with me? Or isn't there somebody, some way, some line that I can draw that they are not worthy? Or I shouldn't spend my time trying to love them. I also identify with the lawyer's impulse to talk about it. To have a theological debate and conversation about these kinds of questions. To spend all day just spinning around in my thoughts or writing about it or posting on Facebook or saying things about who my neighbor is or how to love without ever actually doing anything. So already before the story has even started, I feel convicted by these verses in Luke. I can see myself in that lawyer. But Jesus doesn't stick with a theological debate. He's not interested in just talking about it. And he tells a story that is accessible to children and adults of all ages, a story that invites this lawyer in and invites him to search himself as he hears it. A simple story. There's a man going down the road. We don't know anything about the man, whether he's Jewish or Samaritan or Gentile or why he's going where he's going. He gets beaten up and robbed and left for dead in the ditch. We don't know if he was foolish, if some of this is his own fault, or if this just happened to him. We don't know any of that. But there are two people who walk by, a priest and a Levite. These are religious people. These are good people. People who've given their lives to the service of God in the temple. And when they see the man down in the ditch bleeding, perhaps even dead, they go around. They step out of the way and keep moving. Why? We don't know. Jesus doesn't tell us their motives. And we can fill in the blanks all we want. We can say that they're just callous people. They don't care. They're more interested in their positions and their authority and their power, perhaps. But it could be that they're good people who are on their way to the temple to worship, and they have responsibilities. They have to go lead worship, and if they were to stop and help this man, they would be late. They might not be able to perform their duties. If they touch his blood, they'll be unclean, and they'd have to go through this ritual of cleansing that could take several days. if he is already dead, that is also would render them unclean for touching a corpse. And also, if he's already dead, you know, might as well just kind of keep moving. Somebody else will take care of it. There are all sorts of reasons why they might not stop. And as I think about those reasons, yeah, I see myself. I see myself in my busyness and how important I often think I am, or how important my schedule is, my calendar is. I understand the conflict between duty and duty. I have maybe a 3 o'clock appointment with someone who needs some pastoral care, or a 4 o'clock meeting to talk about the finances of the church. And all of those things are important. And then we get a call that there's someone downstairs who's living in homelessness and just wants a pastor to talk to. How do you decide? What do you do in those moments? I identify with this Levite and this priest. And yet in the story, Jesus lifts them up as those who walk on by, who see a deep need and do nothing. And it feels like me. And then we get to the Samaritan. Now, this is the one I really want to identify with, especially because he is the good Samaritan. We all want to be good. We all want people to say, he was a good man. She was a good woman. You're a good person. And so this is the one I want to be like. And so as I examine what it was that made him different, somehow he made that choice to stop. He was going somewhere. He had things to do. We know that because after he takes care of the man overnight, he gets back on the road and goes to do whatever he was going to do, and then says he'll come back. So he too has a duty and a responsibility that he's pursuing. But when he looks over and sees the man in the ditch, instead of just moving on, he moves toward the suffering. He's willing to set aside his agenda, set aside everything else, because his heart is moved by the suffering of this man. The story tells us he was moved with pity. What made the difference for him? I wonder if he looked at that man and saw himself. If he said to himself, that could just as easily be me. Or if he looked at that man and remembered a time when he was helpless and needed somebody to stop. If he remembered a time when he was broken and was dependent on someone else to have compassion for him. If, as a Samaritan, he's so used to being overlooked and marginalized and ignored that he had the eyes to see and to stop. And for me, in this reading of the story, that's the key. Now, when it comes to the parables of Jesus, if someone says, this is the key to the whole parable, be very suspicious of that. Because there are all sorts of keys and interpretations and ways to unlock these parables of Jesus. But in this reading, for me, that was the key. Seeing his neighbor as himself. And I think about my own experience in those moments of my life when I've been walking through a season of brokenness, of rawness, of pain, of grief, whatever it might be. Those are the times in my life when God's compassion has flowed most freely through me. I remember one afternoon I'd spent some time praying and crying and agonizing about a particular situation in our family. And for the next 2 weeks, I was so in love with the whole world and just so ready to be kind and give people grace. And it's because I recognized my own brokenness that God's compassion was able to flow through me. And I think the Levite and the priest had forgotten that. They seemed caught up in their own importance, their own goodness, their own responsibility. rather than remembering their own deep need of grace. It's hard to keep that before us. It's hard to remember that we are all sinners in need of grace, that we all fall short, that we're all broken and vulnerable in our own ways. But that's another reason why it's so important to keep reading these teachings of Jesus, keep bringing us back to ourselves. The truth is, I don't think any of us is ever always good. It's not like he's good and she's bad. It's not like I'm always good and they're always bad. I think sometimes I do the right thing and sometimes I walk on by. And what Jesus offers us at the end of this parable is not go and be good, but go and do. It's a verb. And every day we have a new opportunity to do and to act and to choose the compassionate action. Every day we have the opportunity to do what John Wesley guided his Methodists to do. Do all the good you can. In all the ways you can, as long as ever you can, you know how it goes. Go and do likewise, Jesus said. May that be our mission today. May we be motivated by the compassion of God that flows through us, broken vessels that we are, to the world. Thanks be to God.
As a people of active faith, I invite you to rise in body or spirit as we join our voices together to affirm our faith in the God that we center our actions upon. You'll find this on 883 in the United Methodist Hymnal. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, in life, in death, in life beyond death. God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen. As we come to our time of prayer this morning, I invite you to lift up both your silent and spoken prayers. If you would like to share prayer concerns with our pastoral team so that we might pray for them throughout the week, there are several ways you can do that. You can always visit our website. So even if you're online, you can do this and visit our website and go to the link, contact us, and you will find a place where you can leave prayer concerns there. Also, if you're here in the sanctuary, you may find one of the gray cards located in the pew racks in front of you, and you may place your prayer concern there and put it in the offering plates as they make their rounds in a few moments. This morning, our prayers of sympathy are with Nancy and Jeff Parker and their family, who are mourning the death of Jeff's uncle, William Bill Harper Ferguson, who died July 6th in Lake Charles, Louisiana, and services were held there on Saturday, July 9th. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. God of mercy and compassion, today through the parables of Jesus, we have been reminded of the goodness and grace that accompanies a life shaped by your love and your love for us. We pray that you would make us aware of the needs around us, whether they are big worldly problems or the everyday hurts and harms that trouble our neighbors, our friends, and our loved ones. We pray for all who lie on the side of the proverbial road at this moment. May their injuries and burdens be seen. May their wounds be bandaged and healed. May they find rest and comfort and peace. And as you love them, We pray that you will help us go and do likewise. God of peace, we pray especially today for those in Illinois whose 4th of July celebrations were marred by tragic violence. We lift up those who lost their lives, those who were injured, and those who were traumatized by a senseless shooting. Lord, we are tired of these tragedies, and we pray that we will work together to find common ground as we seek to address the root causes of such harm. Lord, as we pray these things, we also lift up other concerns that are on our hearts and minds as we enter a time of silent prayer. And now, as people who offer all that we have to you and offer our actions to you as well, we join our voices together to praise as Jesus taught by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. As we prepare to give our tithes and offerings this morning, we recognize that everyone has a different financial situation. So that we might continue our vital ministries in this community and throughout the world, we simply invite you to give as you are able and as you feel led. For those of you worshiping with us online, you may give via the options listed on the screen or in the chat. Let us offer our gifts and our tithes, our offerings, and our hearts to God who loves us unconditionally.
hear the voices of generations of the faithful singing that beautiful hymn with us. We are those who were lost and have been found. We have been claimed by the grace of God. How can we not show that same amazing grace to all? As we leave this place, may we go with hearts, eyes, minds open, that God might show us ways to share the love and grace to help others be found. In Christ's name.